Welcome to Time Zones, and I'm your host, Leroy Jetstream, and this is going to be a really good show. First of all, I want to start off by making some show changes. I've decided on the shows where it's just going to be me, that there's not going to be any cursing, so I'm going to tone the cursing down to a minimum. Maybe for emphasis, but I seriously doubt it. The new shows I'm going to start doing now are going to be more of, I hate to say it, but more of a lecture series. So I'm going to try and talk about stuff that's still interesting to me, but it's going to be more of, kind of a little bit more of lectures, more structured. I'm doing outlines for the shows. All the shows now are going to be within 30 minutes. So I'm not going over 30 minutes. I don't care. I'm even going back and re-editing, and I'm just cutting my stuff down to 30 minutes. And other changes to the show will be is when I do have guests, the shows will be an hour, because I feel that's the time that a guest needs to clearly explain themselves, to get their point across. So they get an hour, but until I have guests, all shows will be 30 minutes. Also, I got rid of the last bumper I had, that little intro. Got rid of that. That took up about took up too many seconds. And I still have the little airplane coming in, but pretty much it'll be the airplane, and you'll have Kendrick Lamar song, instrumental song about me. It's pretty much just going to be my background music until people say that's too irritating. Right now, I like that because it just kind of flows music along. And it helps out with my voice and for the audience that I have, right now. They kind of like that. Most people listen to podcasts or doing other things. They're cleaning the house, cutting the lawn, they're on the way to work, they're stuck in traffic. So they just kind of want a minor distraction and something over music at times, just something a little bit different out of them. Okay, so, now, I guess before I go into the show, I know my first show, I killed the word and overused the word sporadic. So the shows are no longer going to be sporadic. I'm going to come out with a podcast, part of a lecture, every week. It's going to be one that's going to consist of 30 minutes. It's going to be a lecture every one, every week. And then there are also going to be other shows kind of sprinkled in there of randomness, and the shows with guests. That have nothing to do with the series are going to be kind of also explained out too. So, I'll put that on the blog so you guys know. And if you didn't know the blog, I'm with The Click Nation. You can find us and the other members of The Click Nation at TheClickNation.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Leroy_Jetstream. And you can also email me at LeroyJetstream, lowercase, all one word, at Gmail. So now that we have that stuff out of the way, I'm going to kind of get into what this show is going to be about. And to get into this show, I need to really just ask you a really simple question. Now, I know it's January, and Black History Month is right around the corner for February. And I know people are like, okay, well, we're getting geared up for Black History, and I didn't really do this show, really get geared up for Black History. I did this show because I was inspired, by this guy who produces documentaries on OKPlayer.com, I saw it on OKPlayer.com. You can check for the link, but the name of his documentary is called Looking for Galt, and the documentary is about looking for a jazz musician, or a jazz producer, I guess, named Galt McDermott, and he's a very famous producer. He did production for Cotton Comes to Harlem. He did the soundtrack to that movie. That might be one of the things he's most famous for, but he's a very famous jazz musician and producer. And the guy goes through this whole documentary. He goes over one specific thing about, how many times this guy has been sampled in the, the hip-hop industry. And, that really got my mind thinking. Lot. Then I started even thinking about other things. Like, I started thinking about just that thing of sampling. And that brings it back to another question, that it is one of the most ingenious and yet ubiquitous inventions that I would say a black man has ever created in history. This ingenious technique of sampling has just given us like a multi-million dollar industry where people have created equipment to do sampling, to do things such as sequencing. You have gotten groups of organizations of people called timetablists. You have hip-hop producers. This has just become basically a production technique. And, you know, the person responsible for it, at least in the music genre of hip-hop, or as it was called, you know, back when he was doing those rap music, or really didn't even have a name. It was just something all these kids were doing in the Bronx, New York. And the name of this guy, this inventor that invented this small thing, is Grandmaster Flash. Now, Grandmaster Flash, now he didn't invent a lot of the parts of sampling. He mainly invented sampling. So in hip-hop, you know, he doesn't take credit for doing mixing. The main person that really takes credit or is given the credit for mixing is DJ Kool Herc. And he doesn't even take credit for doing a lot of that stuff. And if you wonder where I'm getting this information from, some of this information is from, like, I think I pulled it from Egotrip.com, and I pulled it from Wikipedia. Now, I looked at some of the listings for some of the books and things they had on these topics. I didn't have time to check all of them, so I'm not sure if everything I'm telling you is completely and totally correct. So if you know, if somebody finds a book, or you know Kool Herc personally, he's like, nah man, you all wrong, feel free to correct me, I don't mind. But like I said, what Grandmaster Flash is responsible for is the sample. And if you really want to find out how he came up with the sample, you know, and how we did it, and things in particular, and what inspired him for the sample, you know, I suggest for you to read The Adventures of Grandmaster Flash, his memoir, which was co-written by David Rich. David Rich is one of those award-winning writers that you hire for biographies and memoirs, who I think he worked for the New York Times. And he's that guy you hire that will make you buying a sandwich at Subway the most exciting thing, you know, in the whole world. But, you know, in his book, which was published back in 2008, which I own, read a couple of times, basically, Grandmaster Flash created this because he had an insatiable desire, let's say, an itch to fulfill a need that he just wanted to fulfill just for himself, not for anybody else. There was no altruistic motive. He wasn't doing this for money. He was doing this because he wanted to be the best DJ at that time in the park. Not even the best DJ in New York, not worldwide, just the best DJ in the park. And, you know, this need is even better explained in other texts that are kind of far, not even related, but in another text called Rework, and this is a book by David Heimer Hansen and Jason Fried, and these are the guys that created a company called 37 Singles, internet company. But basically in their book, they tell companies how to rework their business, you know, stay small, go big, and just, you know, how to create products and things that people want. And one of their philosophies in there is, if you want to create a product that everybody wants, scratch your own itch. And basically they're saying is that you need to just fulfill your own need for a desire that you have, for a personal desire that you have, and you'll find that most people have that same desire you have. For whatever reason, they just didn't go about, you know, fulfilling it or doing it. So that's what Grandmaster Flash did, by scratching his itch. And mainly his itch was really, really simple. And people probably thought about this all the time, but just didn't go through the extremes that he went through to get it. The itch is basically like this. You're a DJ. You have a hot song. You do not want the song to end or the music to stop. You know, you don't want to break your music or pause because people are dancing to the music and you set the rhythm of the party and the flow, and you do not want to break up that flow, you know, with having to stop your records and pull your records off. And plus at this time with DJ Kool Herc and other DJs at that time, you know, he's just the guy that's given the most credit, that there was a style of mixing where you would mix records into, you know, another record. You know, back then, disco was very popular. So you could easily take disco records, because most disco records ran on the same beat. Take two disco records, and you could run them into each other. You could extend what might have been a 3-minute song by adding the two records together. Now you have 6 minutes. You could even probably possibly go longer than 6 minutes. You know, you could just keep extending. It would just seem like the party would just never end. The music would just never stop. Well, all Grandmaster Flash really wanted, he wanted to single out a small piece of the music, small selection. He wanted that drum beat, just that drum beat, maybe a minute of drums, maybe a vocal of somebody saying something, but that's all he wanted. So he spent his time with the tools that he had available to him trying to do this. Let me kind of give you some historical context. He's doing this back in the, I say, mid-70s, early 80s. And, you know, back then, most people felt that, you know, a true musician was someone who played an instrument. DJs were not really, they were not really given the respect or respected now. And people didn't sought after a DJ like people sought after DJs now. If you had an event going on, you would hire a band, you know, and, you know, a DJ, and, you know, a DJ just wasn't one of those kind of things to hire. Back then, the DJ was a person, if anybody has ever seen the movie Player Club, and, you know, the belated Bernie Mac told Jamie Foxx's character, all you do is spin records. You just spin records. And, you know, back then, that's what he did, is spin records. It's not that hard to put a record on and, you know, let it play. And, oh, I just thought about something. Some of my listeners might not remember what a record is. Well, it was a plastic groove disc that you used to play on a thing called a phonograph or a turntable. And that's what we played music on. It's the forerunner to what we call CDs. Although people don't play CDs either. But I digress. You know, that was how it was back then. And DJs kind of became innovative because, for whatever odd reason, many people in the inner city stopped playing instruments for whatever reason. I don't know the causation for it, but people just couldn't afford instruments and music lessons, and some of that dealt with just recessions and things of that time kind of just going on economically. So many of the kids in cities had something that was cheap and available, which was turntable and a mix board. Turntable and mix board back then was still cheaper than purchasing the saxophone. And you know, also, if you wanted to make side money and just spin records and play records, cause like I told you earlier, within economic change, people said, you know what, I don't really need a whole band. You know, I can't afford a band. I can just get this DJ and he can play all of my favorite songs and just spin a record. So that was a quick way for you to make some money. You know, you got your turntable, got your mixing board, some speakers, and there you go. You're off and running and start collecting some records, and you're off and running to do a show. You know, easy to make some money. Well, this is the time that Grandmaster Flash is living in. So you have to understand, to put this in historical context, a lot of things we take for granted now don't exist. MP3 files don't exist, haven't been created yet. Matter of fact, the PC as we know it is not created. At this point, they're using supercomputers, and they don't even have workstations. It's just a lot of stuff is antiquated in the 70s. I mean, the touch-tone phone really isn't even out then or really in mass use. People still use the old rotary dial phones. So what Grandmaster Flash learned how to do is he took two turntables and a mixing board, and he learned that if you took two songs or two albums of the same thing, that you could use your hand, which this was really kind of unheard of back then, and even people that love music or love records and vinyls. What he would do basically, and he didn't create this, well, he kind of created the scratch. Some people argue about him and the scratch. He doesn't say he created it. If anything, he probably perfected the scratch. But what he would do is basically he would scratch the record and push the record back with his hands and reverse it on the turntable pretty much going against the motor of the turntable, just, you know, forcing the record to go wherever you want it to go. And people of that time who were probably purists were like, no, first of all, don't touch the vinyl. You know, you can scratch it. You can leave smudge marks on the vinyl. That affects the sound. And you have to understand, I'm not an expert on vinyl, but vinyl back then, vinyl had to be protected a little bit more than even CDs. You know, you had to keep them in the sleeves. Vinyl records were susceptible to heat, to warping from heat, to fingerprint and oil smudges. So, you know, you had to be a little more careful with the vinyl. So this guy comes along and now he's taking his hand and he's rubbing all across the vinyl. And, you know, he's doing all this weird stuff that people don't do to vinyl. You know, it's just like he doesn't even respect the vinyl. He doesn't care about the vinyl. So, he, you know, that was one kind of weird thing he was doing. But what Grandmaster Flash did by setting up two turntables and a mixing board is he learned that he could fade one song in out and fade another song in, which Kool Herc was doing, but he learned that he could slice up a song into pieces. And then he started to pretty much divide the record into kind of pieces in his mind, where he would count the tracks or count when a track was going to happen. So he'd get that one particular piece. He would count down the time of the seconds of that beat. And later on, he started kind of just marking them on the records, where he would know where to pretty much stop the record, let this record wait. Then when it comes to this part in the song, then he would let this one go, and then you would hear that certain sound. And probably what I do to accompany this podcast is I'll probably post a link to our blog of the Wheels of Steel, and that's pretty much that'll show you his technique, where he basically blends, makes a tapestry of beats in a song. He blends in beats, words, anything he can kind of find, and he's the first person who kind of really does that a lot in sampling. And you know, that's sampling now is a cornerstone of hip-hop music. That's why this guy I told you about earlier, if I didn't say his name, Gasface, and he does, he's a producer who produced this documentary called Looking for Galt. It's basically talking about everybody who sampled this guy, Galt McDermott. And sampling has now become a cornerstone. You know, it's the most ubiquitous invention, I would say, of lately the black man has created, that, you know, no one really thinks about, because it literally took over an industry of music. People have created products behind what Grandmaster Flash was doing. They've created turntables, like I said earlier, samplers, sequencers, tools on computers just to do that one thing, to sample. Everybody wants to sample a beat, sample something. Many artists in hip-hop and even R&B have become famous just for sampling. Just to name a few, we all know Kanye West. We know that, you know, he sampled a boys choir for Jesus Walks. He sampled Ray Charles. He's sampled just a whole lot of stuff. I mean, he's sampled, can't think of the name of sample, so I'm not going to say it, but he does a lot of samples. There's other people that are famous for it and made a living off of samples. Really, everybody pretty much in hip-hop, because that's a cornerstone or a staple of the genre of music, has made money off of sampling. But there's certain people that just really have exploited it, and like we have Madlib from Stone Throw, his productions, and I'll probably post some links to him up on there too. Okay. Kind of gotten a little bit through that part, but I mean, this invention is so ubiquitous just that everyone in this industry has used it, and I just thought it was really neat how, you know, Grandmaster Flash came up with sampling. Like I stated earlier, he was just scratching his own itch or his own need. You know, he wasn't trying to get money, a little bit of money. He was just, like I stated earlier, he was just trying to be the best guy in his block. He wasn't even trying to be this world-renowned, you know, now DJ, you know, hip-hop guy. You know, everybody writes anything about hip-hop. You gotta talk about Grandmaster Flash. You know, him and his group, the Furious Five, you have to talk about them, the cornerstones, you know, they had the song out called Message, and that's the first, I guess I would call it, conscious rap or hip hop, or I guess awareness rap that ever came out in history. You know, up to then, all of it had been party rap. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, his contribution. But, don't quite know how to kind of word or kind of say this, but, you know, the reason why I'm doing this part on him, because I really want this series to really be about sampling. So we're going to explore sampling, but I just felt I couldn't do sampling or go over thing about sampling without really doing Grandmaster Flash. And I did some research. Let me explain something to you. He's not the first person to really do the technique of sampling. We have William S. Burroughs, the guy who wrote Naked Lunch. And he sampled in the same sense that Grandmaster Flash sampled. He sampled a lot of things. He sampled writings, videos, and he would contort and change them to fit what he, well, you know, scratching, like I said, once again, scratching that itch to fit that need that he wanted, that particular selfish need that he wanted, you know, with no altruistic motive, just his own needs. And, you know, he did that. Many people have done that. And that's kind of a problem, even going back to him, that has been caused by sampling, because a lot of times when people sample, it goes into another thing called copyright infringement. And we'll probably talk about that much later, because that deserves at least 2 or 3 shows, is getting copyright infringement. Maybe I need to go find a lawyer who can really explain that to me, because I don't know all the ins and outs of copyright infringement. Like I stated earlier, you know, I do a little bit of photography. I know about it with photography to a pretty good extent, because I don't want to get sued. But music and everything else and other visual things, no, I'm not that good. I don't know. I'm not going to act like I know. Okay, and I apologize that I got a little bit off topic. But going back on topic, you know, the reason I picked Grandmaster Flash to do sampling is it's basically like this. You know, according to a book written by John Lewis Gaddis, and it's called Landscapes of History, How Historians Map the Past. And this is a great book I got back in 2006 when I did the intro to history, when I wasn't that serious about school at that time, but I always loved this book and I always kind of kept it around. But basically this book goes through explaining the philosophy of history, and I love to read this book. So basically the reason I picked Grandmaster Flash, he's not a causation for the hip-hop genre. There are many people that were causations for hip-hop. Other causations would be, let's say, very famous causation would be the spoken word group Last Poets. They were the first one that did something very similar to hip-hop as we know it today. Very similar to hip-hop as we know it today. You know, they pretty much rap over a beat. Same as I'm probably going to do this show, because I placed the beat underneath this show just to make it a little bit more interesting and to hold your attention. Last Poets did the same thing, although they used their beats not only to hold the audience's attention, to move their story along, and you know, sometimes just move the story along, bring emphasis and add more to the story. So, you know, they're the forerunners of hip-hop, so they're a causation of it. Now, Grandmaster Flash is not a causation for hip-hop. Not at all. I believe there would have been hip-hop always around if Grandmaster Flash just never decided to do hip-hop. You know, he was a regular guy. He could have decided just to get a regular job. You know, he even thought about that in the book, just to get a regular job and stop this weird DJing thing. So, you know, he's not the causation of hip-hop. But there's, you know, I haven't been able to find, I guess they would call that counterfactual for him creating a sample. What I mean by that is, when he started taking his 2 turntables and the mix board and selecting small slices of the song, not taking a whole song and merging them and playing whole songs together, he takes slices, seconds of songs, and he can he literally plays with time. He takes a couple of seconds of a song and turns it into a whole 3-minute song. No one else was doing that. And that's one of the cornerstones of hip-hop. You know, because later in times when rappers are being sued for copyright infringement, because many rappers were still taking a person's whole song and rapping over it, And, you know, they got sued. I think, now, this is off the top of my head, and I could be wrong, but many years ago, Biz Markie, I think, was sued by Paul Simon. I think it was Paul Simon. About a sample he didn't clear. And kind of just go back. When I say clearing a sample or a sample that didn't clear, is the previous person who wrote the music that you're trying to use to add to your music didn't approve of you to use it. And usually that means you didn't give them any money. It is not the credit that they're usually upset about, it's the money. So you didn't give them any money. And sometimes some of them are ticked off about the credit too. You know, you worked hard on that music, that's the baby, you just didn't get the credit, you didn't even say you did. You just jumped up, and, you know, like in, you know, in schools, it's called plagiarism. Well, this is the same thing, you jump up, take somebody's music, it's plagiarism, you stole it. So, you know, a lot of them were upset about that. And due to this, a lot of them had to start paying these exuberant prices that they just couldn't afford. So they began doing production tricks of reversing sounds, inverting beats, and they also learned, coming back, the Grandmaster Flash of using less is more. So many times people who will sample a beat now, I'll give you a couple of people that's famous for that, they'll sample a beat. A good producer can sample about 5 to 10 seconds of a beat, and they'll do a process of looping it over, which that's also the process which Grandmaster Flash really kind of perfected. No, he didn't create looping. Looping was around before Grandmaster Flash. He was the first person. A first person who was famously known for looping with 2 turntables and a mixing board. Which, that is not easy to do that. And, you know, he also used the scratches and stuff as intros and played with that because he was one of the people that was good with scratching. And he even kind of turned scratching into an art form. But he's not the guy that really came up with the scratch. Other people was kind of scratching, but he did make scratching famous. And I can even argue to say that he almost uses scratching as a form of sampling in itself in the music. But that's a whole nother story. But, you know, if it wasn't for him taking 2 turntables and a mixing board and sampling that way, then we wouldn't have this form of hip-hop with him using those small increments of time. And a couple people who kind of borrowed from him are using that small increment of time, because it's really kind of an unspoken word kind of hip-hop. I'm a real hip-hop fan, hip-hop head. It's kind of an unspoken thing. So they use like 5-10 seconds of beat. If you got any DJ friends, you can ask them. And they can use 5-10 seconds, maybe even less. And what you do is you just loop that beat. And you just keep looping and looping, you know, until you get enough time. And that's what Grandmaster Flash did. Now, he is the causation of sampling in the hip-hop genre as we know it, as it being a cornerstone in hip-hop of sampling all types of things. You know, that is his main thing. So, you know, if you didn't have him, you know, if he wasn't around, then you wouldn't have sampling as you know it. And I don't think you would have a lot of this sampling equipment and other things, you know, brought about. I don't think there would be a Kanye West or a lot of people with Timbaland if he hadn't come up with that technique of sampling. Now, I'm not saying there wouldn't be any hip-hop. I'm just saying this technique of sampling, this cornerstone of hip-hop, would not be around without Grandmaster Flash. So, you know, that's what makes him influential in me doing this segment on sampling. That's why I chose him. If people have any arguments, you know, this is the little theory I'm espousing, you know, kind of based off the landscape of history book. Because, you know, there's no counterfactual that I've really been able to find. Anybody says it, hey, there was another dude who was also famously known for doing this. Okay, well, people, my time is running out. I'm keeping this show exactly at 30 minutes. So, you know, I'm going to go on ahead and end it. I'm going to put a bookmark right there. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. I'm going to put some links up to Wheels of Steel. It's your boy Leroy Jetstream on here. And also, I'm not ashamed to use my real name. I use Leroy Jetstream because it's better than my real name. My real name is Larry Walker. It's my real name. And I don't mind it. It's just that it's just not as exciting as Leroy Jetstream and not as rememberable. People remember Leroy Jetstream over Larry Walker. Hopefully, that'll probably change. But I like being Leroy Jetstream, too. That's fun to have a handle. It's fun to maybe sometimes be somebody else. Or just to have your little nickname. So that's always fun. It's I'm going to go on ahead, sign off on the show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I enjoyed making it. So, peace.